Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force. Now, here's your host, Jim Rome.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I believe that God would like you to experience healing and miracles in your life. Miracles and healing are possible for you. Listen, today our guest, Bill Johnson, teaching at a healing and impartation conference. Second part of a two-part series. So here he is as he continues with this conference, Bill Johnson.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm reading in my office, and I'm reading Revelation 19:10. And it says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Have you ever read a scripture, and it just leaps out at you, and you go, oh, that's amazing. And if someone were to say, what does it mean? You'd have to say, I'm clueless. All I know is my heart felt good when I read it. Does that make sense to anybody? Just like, oh, that's so rich. What does it mean? Don't, I'm not getting it here yet. I'm getting it right here. Oh, that's so good. And that was one of those verses. I read it. It leapt out at me. I went, what does this mean? And I asked him, I said, Lord, I want understanding on that verse. Later that same day, a businessman, drives by the church. He walks to the door of my office. He stands in the doorway and he says, Bill, God has healed my marriage. And he starts telling me a story, how God has restored his relationship with his wife. And then before he leaves, he says, Bill, you can share that story with anyone you want. Now, you have to understand, I asked a question of God earlier. He brings a man to my doorway who announces to me what? A testimony. When he is through, he says, you can share this testimony with anyone you want. What is he? Instantly, I knew that there's something on this story that the Lord wants me to remember because he's just given me permission to tell it or to prophesy, to speak the miracle of God's healing in a marriage that I'm to announce it to others. And do you understand when the Holy Spirit's working, you pick up things that aren't being said? I knew that in the telling of the story would be the release of a miracle for people. So it started at that moment 25, 28 years or so ago. So here's the deal. One of the most fun things in the world to do is to gather around stories of what God has done. One of the most neglected areas in the church is that area. Because it's like, we hear a testimony, somebody stands up and says, you know, I was deaf in my right ear and the Lord healed me. And we all get excited and happy and move on with the service. What just happened? Somebody just prophesied God's in the mood to heal deaf ears. And without seeing how his economy works, without seeing how his resources are moved one person to another, we miss the meaning and the backbone, the purpose. What is the purpose? Well, it's twofold. One is to release into the earth the revelation of God's nature and his covenant with man, number one. Number two, it has practical impact. That is what? To heal another deaf ear. Is this making any sense? I was giving another story. I was doing a meeting with Todd Bentley in the Sacramento area. We're doing a tent meeting. And I happened to have Friday night meeting. It was my night to preach. And during worship, we were just worshiping the Lord. And I just, I don't always see things. I'm seeing things a little bit more. But I just had this mental picture very quickly of, I forgot the actual numbers now. I saw the vertebra of a neck and the number 97, and I saw it just float by. Now that sounds really graphic and really clear, but it was like the visual equivalent of the still small voice. It's as easy to miss as it is to catch. In other words, if you're not leaning into it, you probably won't recognize it. Does that make sense to you? Everybody in this room has the capacity to see. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Your conversion gave you the capacity to see. When we don't realize that, we leave the seeing role to seers, the professionals. Not realizing that the Lord has given every one of us the capacity to perceive. All right. So we're in worship, and I just had this flash picture, 97 vertebra of a neck. And I went, well, probably there's some injuries to the neck. Happened in 1997. That's all I could figure out. So when it was my turn, I got the mic. I said, all right, is there anybody here who injured your neck in an accident of some sort in 1997? And we had like 10 or 12 people raise their hands. I had them come forward. Now, I didn't interview every one of them. Every one of them I interviewed, which is somewhere between 8 and 10 of them, every one of them were healed. They came forward. They had accidents, injured their necks in 1997. I'm sharing that story at Mahesh's the same night. And a guy sitting way over on the outside edge of the tent, he says, I injured my neck. And I'm preaching. People are interrupting me. Son of David, have mercy on me. One of those things. You know, it's just real, real annoying. And he says, I injured my neck. I went, you know, and again, I was about to say, and we're going to pray for everyone we can pray for at the end of the meeting. And he says, and it happened in 97. I went, all right, stand up. You know, can only handle so much of this, you know. And he just in moments, literally standing right where he was healed. What's the point? Is if you learn to recognize the presence of the Lord, and as we're all in that school, right? I mean, some days I'm doing great. Some days I couldn't find my way, you know, out of a room. I mean, I'm not real discerning. Other times I'm real clear. And so we're learning to recognize the voice and the presence of the Lord. In that context, when testimonies are given, it's supposed to release faith and a direction for a miracle. Why? Because I'm a steward of the revelation and the manifestation of God's nature. That's what keeping the testimony does, is it enables me to correctly steward the revelation and the manifestation of His nature. Since we've been experimenting, and the only thing I know to do in the things of the kingdom is to experiment. If you like everything to be done perfect, don't hang around with us, because we will drive you nuts. I mean, because we, you know, when I taught my boys how to ride the bikes when they were little kids, I took them down to the park where there was a lot of grass so that when they fell, they would fall on the grass. It was my job to create an environment that was as safe as possible for their learning experience. In learning the way the Spirit of God moves, we've got to do that. We've got to learn to experiment, but keep each other accountable. Don't do the arrogant thing. Don't do the thus saith the Lord when you're just learning to hear, you know, subject it to people. Say, you know, I'm sensing that God might be doing this. That's not a chicken way out. You know, that's honesty. It's saying, you know, I'm learning, and this is what I think He's saying. And then if somebody says, you know, that's not it, then you get up and try again. In that process, I'll be in a meeting. For example, we were in a meeting in, doesn't matter where it was. And a guy was, we had about 20 people or so up front that were giving testimonies of miracles that they had just happened that night. And I got down towards the end of the row, and a man was there who started to give a testimony of something that got healed in his nose. I think he had polyps or something. And he just pointed to it. As soon as he did, I had immediate flash of deviated septums being healed, the blockage in a nostril. I grabbed the mic from him because delayed obedience is disobedience. And the longer you wait, the more the anointing dissipates. So I was rude and grabbed the mic and said, deviated septum, just like that. And about, I don't remember now, 6 or 8 people that had deviated septums, I said, who are you? They put their hand up. I said, put your finger on your nose. They put it on their nose. I said, take it off. They took it off. I said, now check yourself out. And a young lady right in front of me just starts to weep. She was scheduled for surgery. God completely rotor-rooted that nose in a heartbeat. And we had, to my knowledge, I think everyone or close to every person that put their hand up was healed within moments of that problem. Now, God doesn't have a scale of things that need to be healed, that some are easy and some are hard. He doesn't go, I don't know. We're going to need more angels in on this one. Come on. You know, people come to me, they say, Bill, would you pray? I go, sure, I'd love to pray. What do you need? They go, well, this is a hard one. I go, wait a minute. Headaches are hard for me. Cancer is easy for God. If we're going to pray in my name, we got problems. If we're going to pray in his name, this is no big deal. Amen. Are you with me? Yeah. So here are all these people in the room from one flash of a testimony in a moment, just remembering God healing deviated septum. What do? You jump on it. I don't know, for anybody who leads meetings, when you hear a testimony, there are times where a testimony comes forth and you can just tell there's power on that for now. Now, all of them have now effect, but sometimes it's such a prevailing word. Does this make sense to anybody? What I want you to do is I want you to hear that. I just want you to know that. You know, the gal that's sitting in the front row that hears the creative miracle in the leg muscle says, well, if God did that for her, certainly he would do that for me. I completely missed it. I wasn't dialed in to how God worked through the testimony yet in that measure. But she picked it up immediately. It released faith in her heart. God's no respecter of persons. Now, if you're praying for, you know, when we have stuff that we've never seen happen before, well, we got to have our first time. You know, we had to get that broken leg that was bowed. We had to get that one healed first before we had the breakthrough. Does that make sense? We got to have something happen. And so what do? You just take risk. You just look for people to pray for. You know, we tell our folks, you see anybody at the mall or anywhere that has a crutch or a cane or neck brace or cast or anything, those are legal targets. Treat them with honor. Treat them with respect. But, you know, they're there for you. You know, one of our young men turned 21, and so he went down to the bar. He's one of our students, and we were proud of him. He went down to the bar. He's 21, so he walks in, and he's looking around the bar, and he's trying to figure out who he can minister to, and he sees a guy sitting at a table in the back, and he walks up to him, and the Lord starts giving him words of knowledge for him, and starts to minister to him. And the guy's just, he starts talking to him, says, you know, you've got this, you know, God really wants to heal this relationship you got with your father that's all messed up. The guy just starts weeping, calls his friends over from the next booth, and they come over. So he's ministering prophetically to all these people. They're just happy with what God's doing. They said, man, we want to buy you a drink. And he says, well, I don't drink. The guy said, you don't drink? What are you doing in here? He says, I'm here for you. Look at this verse. I don't know if you got tired and closed your Bible, but if you still have it open, look at this verse. Psalm 78, if you forgot. It sometimes takes me a while. You know what? If you like this subject, I would encourage you to read the whole psalm tonight. Really. This psalm is pregnant with this concept of remembering the works of the Lord. In fact, hopefully, now that you've heard me share a little bit on this subject, as you read the Bible, especially the Psalms and Proverbs, it will broadcast to your soul what God is saying about holding on to the record of what God has done. Because it's a very large part. Let me say this. Remembering the supernatural interventions of God is at the core of what we refer to as the revival culture. All right. Psalm 78, verse 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. They forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Let's look at it again. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. They forgot his works and his wonders which he had shown them. All right, let's look at it again and just follow me on this. Verse 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Why? Verse 10. They didn't keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. Why didn't they keep the covenant of God? Because they forgot his works, verse 11, and the wonders he had shown them. Here's the deal. Exposure to the supernatural. In fact, I should read one more verse to you. Joshua 24. You guys doing okay? Let me just read this verse to you. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had also known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. It's Joshua 24, verse 31. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. What did they have in common? They saw the works of the Lord. The next generation didn't. So what happened? Israel fell into idolatry. What kept them in a place of passionate pursuit of God is they had leaders who had a DNA change, not because they took leadership courses. They had a DNA change because they had been exposed to the supernatural element of God's nature as revealed through miracles, signs, and wonders. It did something to their makeup, giving them a grace to function in leadership in a way that inspired the people of God to want to serve God. Listen, when the last elder dies and there's no longer the remembrance of the miracles, I doubt the next morning, you know, one of their sons woke up and says, okay, now we're going to serve idols. I mean, it doesn't happen that way. It's a slow turning from the things of the Lord. What was the distinguishing mark of this leadership who had seen all the works of the Lord? Their exposure to the supernatural changed their capacity to lead. Well, what do we have in this verse? The children of Ephraim have been trained, ready for battle. They're dressed for it. They're trained for it. They're ready to go. But they don't have the courage to go to war. Why? Because they had not been living in radical obedience. Well, how come they weren't living in radical obedience? Because they lost their bearings. Their compass point had been changed because they forgot the supernatural interventions of God. Are you guys getting this? Somehow losing that one reference point. Our God is an awesome God. He invades the impossible. He reverses the effects. He defends us before our enemies. He delivers us in this situation. Having that written into your approach to life changes everything. My goal is to live in a city where the average citizen of a city walks around with an attitude that says, nothing is impossible with God. I want it as you go into a restaurant. It's a prevailing attitude. It's not just for healing of cancer and stuff. It applies there, but it's not that. It's living with an awareness of God who invades the impossible. We share testimony diligently, consistently, regularly. Why? I cannot afford to lose consciousness of the God who invades the impossible. If I do, I will reduce ministry to my ministry gifts. And our ministry gifts are like sails on a boat. They were designed to catch wind. They are not simply there to be pretty. and attractive to each other. Wow, look at that gift he's got. Isn't that wonderful? No. It is there to catch the breath of God. And all of our gifts have focus and place through divine interaction, through supernatural invasion. It's the breath of God on your gift that impacts eternity. All right. I just think that's a whole bunch of fun right there. Now, that's a lifestyle. Do you understand that? We're not talking about, well, I've now found the key for every problem I'll ever face. I'll just find a story. No, it's a good beginning place. But it is the responsibility of the people of God to carry. You carry in your soul this revelation of the nature of God. See, they're confused as can be out there about God's nature. They think Katrina was from him. Why did they think that? Because most people in our churches think it was from him. See, we can't expect the world to have a clear understanding of the goodness of our God if we're confused. Amen. How do we correctly steward the revelation of his nature? Arm yourself with stories. Let me add one more thing. I was going to close, but I'll do one more ending. And it's a short one, I promise. When a prophetic anointing is released into the atmosphere, it changes the atmosphere. Would you agree with that? Now, whether you're conscious of it or not, you have felt the power of testimony go forth. Right? Because it's more than just a nice story. It's more than just hearing about, you know, just a nice event that happened in history. We're talking about God's intervention. There's a power on it. So all of us, in some measure, are dialed into that, okay? Now, what if you live in a city? Let's just take a city that the primary, there's never one area of sin that exists in a city and no other area. They just seem to all give place to other areas. But let's just say that you live in a city where the major stronghold is, for illustration's sake, we'll just say marriages fall apart. I remember my wife and I, our family moved into a neighborhood where everybody on that side of the street that we bought a house on had their marriages fell apart. And so a neighbor came over and said, you, in so many words, you should have never bought a house on that side of the street. Slap yourself. No, I won't tell you what else. It was kind of her, but she was working with human resource and not supernatural resource. So we were able to break that cycle. But the point is, so let's say you live in a city that has an unusual amount of divorce in families. You want to change the atmosphere? Prophesy. How? Testimonies. Testimonies of what? Healed marriages. I just gave you an absolute key to change the environment over a city. A stronghold over a city is broken by the release of the record of God's intervention in the very area where your city suffers. See, most of the time the church lives in reaction. Oh, everybody on our side of the street has been divorced. Boy, honey, we've really got to be careful. Let's make sure we're careful. No, you come back in the opposite spirit. You come back with a record of the Lord. You come back, this is what God does. Are you with me? Okay, why don't you stand? We'll pray together, and then we're going to pray for the sick. So. Okay, you were very enduring and patient. You know, if this is taken to heart tonight, do you know what happens? I mean, my. You'll be in a restaurant. You'll be in a, you know, in line at a grocery store, and you'll hear somebody say, "Oh man, my back is killing me," and you remember last week you saw one of your friends healed of the same back problem, and you tell them. I mean, when we first started learning this, we had a little boy with club feet healed, and our students, when they put him on the ground, his feet were perfectly flat. His little friend came up to him and said, run. And he ran in a circle. He came running back towards us. And he said, I can run. It's the cutest thing in the world. Literally, the cutest thing in the world. Neighbors, this kid came to visit us in church like 2 weeks later and said, we're Chris's little neighbor. I said, oh, how is he doing? He goes, he's been running for 2 weeks. Just three-year-old, just running everywhere he goes. Just cute as could be. Well, guess what happens when I share the testimony one Sunday? Two of our young men go down to the mall, and they find the elderly lady with a cane and a leg brace. Well, it's not club feet, but it's close. And they ask if they could pray for her. She says, no. So they pulled out the secret weapon. It's a testimony. They told her about little Chris getting healed. By the time they were through, they were asking for prayer. She was asking for prayer. They prayed for her. Her leg, she had a tumor on her leg. It just disappeared. She had one on her back she didn't bother to tell them of. And one of our young men goes, oh, the fire of God's on your back. She goes, oh. She puts her hand back there and the tumor that was on her back is gone. So here she's got her leg brace, her cane, and the family comes out of the store. Can't leave grandma alone for any time at all. Look what happens to her. Isn't that amazing? All through the testimony. Last week, we had a conference in Hawaii. One of our students was on a plane sitting next to a hotel owner. Owned a hotel there. And the guy's been in pain for 47 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 47 years. An accident that he had with his leg. Never had one moment of relief for 47 years. And all he did was sit there and tell him stories. By the time the plane lands, the guy's begging for prayer. Why? Something was released. You know, he wouldn't have said, I feel the prophetic anointing of, you know. All he knows is there's an aching here for something that he never thought was possible. They get to the area where they get the luggage. He turns and he prays for him. He is completely 100% healed and is absolutely stunned for the first time in 47 years. No pain. Where did it come from? Testimony. Yeah, that makes me happy. Man, that's fun. I think it would be really great if you took a moment to just turn and pray for somebody and say, you're carrying the revelation of God's nature. I pray that God would increase your opportunities to release it. Just turn and pray for each other. Take a couple minutes for that. And just encourage each other. Pray for each other. Pray for the release, the boldness to declare the testimony of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Today we had Bill Johnson from Bethel Church in Redding, California.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.